Revising the Past. Let me give an example from a workshop I led not long ago at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. Maria was a slender, athletic Filipina in her mid-40s who had been pleasant and accommodating during our first 2 days, which had been devoted to exploring the long-term impact of trauma and teaching self-regulation techniques. But now, seated on her pillow about 6 feet away from me, she looked scared and collapsed. I wondered to myself if she had volunteered as a protagonist mainly to please the girlfriend who had accompanied her to the workshop. I began by encouraging her to notice what was going on inside her and to share whatever came to mind. After a long silence, she said, "I can't really feel anything in my body and my mind is blank." Mirroring her inner tension, I replied, "A witness can see how worried you are that your mind is blank, and you don't feel anything after volunteering to do a structure. Is that right?" "Yes," she answered, sounding slightly relieved. The witness figure enters the structure at the very beginning and takes the role of an accepting, non-judgmental observer who joins the protagonist by reflecting his or her emotional state and noting the context in which that state has emerged, as when I mentioned Maria's volunteering to do a structure. Being validated by feeling heard and seen is a precondition for feeling safe, which is critical when we explore the dangerous territory of trauma and abandonment. A neuroimaging study has shown that when people hear a statement that mirrors their inner state, the right amygdala momentarily lights up, as if to underline the accuracy of the reflection. I encouraged Maria to keep focusing on her breath, one of the exercises we had been practicing together, and to notice what she was feeling in her body. After another long silence, she hesitantly began to speak. "There is always a sense of fear in everything I do. It doesn't look like I'm afraid, but I am always pushing myself. It is really difficult for me to be up here." I reflected, "A witness can see how uncomfortable you feel pushing yourself to be here." And she nodded, slightly straightening her spine, signaling that she felt understood. She continued, "I grew up thinking that my family was normal, but I always was terrified of my dad. I never felt cared for by him. He never hit me as hard as he did my siblings, but I have a pervasive sense of fear." I noted that a witness could see how afraid she looked as she spoke of her father, and then I invited her to select a group member to represent him. Maria scanned the room and chose Scott, a gentle video producer who had been a lively and supportive member of the group. I gave Scott his script. "I enroll as your real father, who terrified you when you were a little girl," which he repeated. Note that this work is not about improvisation, but about accurately enacting the dialogue and directions provided by the witness and protagonist. I then asked Maria where she would like her real father to be positioned, and she instructed Scott to stand about 12 feet away, slightly to her right and facing away from her. We were beginning to create the tableau, and every time I conduct a structure, I'm impressed by how precise the outward projections of the right hemisphere are. Protagonists always know exactly where the various characters in their structures should be located,